Welcome to the Accidental Experts Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Hamilton. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and a child and family therapist. I have been in practice for over 15 years, and I'm also a mom of four. So I know the challenges both professionally and personally. I'm so glad that you're here today to grow your parenting toolbox. Please come as you are and be ready to learn. My goal is to make you the accidental expert so that you can raise healthy humans. Hi guys, welcome back. Hopefully you caught Todd on his first episode, kind of giving us the basics on ADHD. Today, Todd is back. Todd Johnson, he is an LMFT, and he is going to talk to us about how to parent kids with ADHD. With that, let's get to Todd.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you. Okay, so we talked last week about what ADHD is and kind of defined it. So let's talk about how we parent. And one of these things that I think I find parents talking a lot about is like what they think ADHD is. And so I'm going to ask you, what do you think ADHD is not, right? So what do you think parents think it is, but it's really not?
First and foremost, it's not a behavioral problem. There are behaviors associated with it, but it's not... My kid is just being difficult. They're being a jerk. They're being whatever. So it's not a behavior problem. It's not a effort or a laziness problem, mm-hmm. Which I think sometimes parents see that because they're asking for something simple, like I need you to go clean your room, and then it's still dirty, not realizing mm-hmm. the executive function component of I don't even know where to start mm-hmm. when it comes to a room that is that messed up. So it's definitely not laziness. It's also just not something that everybody has a little bit of, which is something you hear is, oh, everybody has a little bit of ADHD. And it's not that. It's, yes, if people have times where we don't track time and we have issues getting started on projects. And there are definitely times where people want to avoid stuff. But we're talking about something at a clinically significant level and much mm-hmm. higher. So it's not just like, oh, everyone has a little bit of that. Some parents just don't think it's that awesome. And eventually, I think it can become awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard when especially when we see kids that are getting diagnosed, maybe they haven't been diagnosed yet, but we're helping in that process. There's some pretty frustrated parents out there, sure. right? And even once we have kids diagnosed, it's not just like, okay, well, we have that. It still can be super frustrating. So yeah, we no, certainly very much so. As parents of kids with ADHD relate to that dynamic, right? So why do you think parenting a kid with ADHD is different from a neurotypical kid? So like when we're talking about neurotypical, we're talking about a kid that their brain on a scan looks exactly like we expect. So they're mm-hmm. not somebody with this neurodiversity. Why is it different?
I think a couple of reasons. I think it's that executive function component deficit, especially. And, you know, when a kid doesn't know how to organize, you're having to actually, as a parent, teach your kids some skills that your neurotypical child already knows how to do naturally. And so immediately you're going to have this big difference because your role as a parent, which all parents educate, becomes different and even more level of education that you're going to be focusing on with your kid. And so that's a big component of why it's so different, as well as, you know, the behavioral issues are going to be different and how they pop up. You know, we talked a little bit last time how a kid can be totally fine 1 second and then we're just completely explosive. And then 5 minutes later, we're completely fine again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that isn't always outside of some of the teenage years with a neurotypical kid, the same pattern. And so mm-hmm. There's definitely some big differences parenting from that standpoint. To be able to manage those deficits, to teach the skills and help reinforce skills that maybe they're working on in therapy or the coach or whatever. And then it's even the part of for parenting a kid like this, you have to a lot of positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, in the social intelligence world, they always talk about that it takes five positives to wipe out one negative interaction. But with a kid with ADHD, it could be they talk more about 15 to 20 positive interactions to wipe out that one negative interaction, because a kid with ADHD is going to be focused on those negatives. So, you know, when you have that one bad encounter with your kid, you have to, in a lot of ways, pump more good into and more love into, to kind of build that self-esteem and confidence that that child's going to need for a kid with ADHD than, say, a neurotypical kid.
Yeah. And I find in my practice, you know, it's oftentimes that those kids with ADHD are lacking confidence, right? They really are not feeling super great about themselves. So that can be an exhausting component is, not only are you trying to guide them, they may be very sensitive to your guidance, and they are going to need a lot more building up of themselves. Right. And and so that part can be really hard as a parent. There's a lot of challenge in that. And also you're sometimes feeling like the teacher, right? Where you're like, I have to break these things down. So like, I need you to go to your room. And one of the tools that I like to have my kids do is like, okay, we're going to do everything in rainbow order. Right. Cause my kids all know what rainbow order is. And so I'm like, pick up everything that's red. Right. And then it's like, okay, got the red things. Okay. Then what color's next? Orange. Okay. So, and then we go through the rainbow, and then pretty soon their entire room is cleaned up. And that is a tool that I've taught my kids to do, because it helps them to have a system in place. And we talked about how important systems are for kids with ADHD, but it's like breaking it down to see what relates to your kids. And you may try something and it totally doesn't work, right? Like it's a total flop, and they think it's a flop.
Horrible idea. Don't do that again.
And the key is to get creative, right? I think, you know, that's where social media can really come into play as an educator.
Yes.
Is definitely. To look at all these other accounts of like these people that are ADHD parents or have ADHD themselves, to like look at like, what could I take away from this that might be helpful within myself or for my kiddo, to get creative. And there's lots of blogs and stuff, and we'll include some of our favorites in the show notes. So this is a funny next question, but I honestly get this question. Are we going to survive this? Parents ask me, are we going to survive our kid having ADHD? Todd, what is the answer to this?
Sometimes. Yes. I mean, ultimately, yes, you're going to survive. Is it going to be easy? No, because it's just not. It's not going to be easy, but you can survive if you use kind of the right tools, the right skills, and kind of work on how you are engaging your kid and what you're doing with your kid. You know, the goal is, as we get some skills and development into the child, and they close the gap on some of these deficits, you know, some of the behavior stuff would hopefully disappear, and that would be a little bit easier. The mistake sometimes parents get into is when things start going well, they pull back a little bit, thinking, oh, the kid's got it, and they don't need as many reminders, only to then see all the wheels pop right off and you're right back where you're at. So if you're going to survive this, you have to be able to be consistent, and you have to be able to be intentional at all times, which is exhausting. So you will survive. You will be exhausted.
Yeah. Well, and putting a system in place, right? So it's like you figure out what works, you get everybody who's involved in this child's life on the same team, right? Whether that's teachers, parent, or principals, that's other parents, right? Besides you, grandparents, everybody on the same page as much as is physically possible to explain what this is, what supports need to be in place, because then people don't find themselves so frustrated. That supports the positive mindset that the kid has about themselves, and also helps them to manage. They want to be successful. That's I've never met a kid that has ADHD that doesn't want to be successful. Sometimes they say that they don't, because they've had so much difficulty that they don't want to put the effort in, because they see that their effort happens and then everybody else can do it so much easier than them. And then they feel frustrated by the situation, which is so understandable. But our job is to stay accountable and also put in all the scaffolding, right, to help them be successful. And then that way, when we say, hey, go get your shoes on, the shoes are in the right place. They know which feet their shoes go on. They, you know, like those simple things where you're like, that's ridiculous. But really, for an ADHD kid, those are the things that help them to be successful, is having a routine. You give a 5-minute warning before you have to leave somewhere. That's the kid's sign that they need to do these things, or putting up different flyers, right? Or like pieces of paper that tell them, this is what you need to do before you leave your room in the morning. That's one that we do at our house. Or this is what you need to do to get ready for school. Or here's a checklist. I had a mom once who made checklists for their kids' backpacks. And I was like, that is amazing. Because then you have this tiny little checklist. And it's like, okay, I got my homework. I've got my red folder. I've got my lunchbox. I've got my water. All the things to help them be successful. So, I mean, there is a lot that goes into this. So we are going to survive. Just it's going to be exhausting until we get to success.
It's very exhausting. And yeah, it is. It's about learning where your kid and what works best for them. I'm always a big fan of kind of stripping things down as much as you can, especially from an organizational standpoint, because things get lost really easy in a backpack at school, especially. Mm-hmm. They just get shoved into a And there, and then they're lost forever. And the assignment that a kid might actually have done in class never got turned in because now it's, you know, crumbled up in the bottom. And so, yeah, you're always looking for the right strategy and the right thing. And as you learn this for your kid, each kid, you'll get better eventually.
Yeah.
And you will survive eventually.
Yes. Okay. So we've kind of talked about this, but let's talk a little bit more about how do you support your kid and yourself in this as a parent and a kid with ADHD? How do you support that structure, right? So that we can survive this.
I think, you know, for the kid, there's a couple things you can do that. And I think they all kind of generally go under the word advocate for them. And that means like educating your friends and your family about what is going on for your kids so that they have the knowledge of how to best interact. So they can even help support and reinforce what you're doing at home when they go to the grandparents' house or the aunt, uncle's house. You know, if they are seeing it as a behavioral problem and not as this actual clinical thing going on, then you need to start having a really good conversation with them. And maybe even think about what boundaries need to be set up to keep your kid emotionally healthy from that type of setting.
Well, and sorry to interrupt you for a second, sometimes that looks like if your extended family cannot support your kid and the way that your kid is feeling coming back for that, sometimes that's a right time to pull back until 100%. You can get things to a place where they're safe and healthy for your kid. And I just want to tell parents, like, that is okay. I'm not saying family is important, right? But it is okay for you to prioritize your kid's mental health and 100%. Well-being over what maybe you feel like is expected of you.
I agree 100% because that is such a big component of, you know, to help raise a kid with ADHD, it takes that community. Your immediate family, the people who are closest to you are going to be able to come around and support. And so part of your job as the advocate is give them that information. And if there's somebody who cannot support you, well, they're not helping you, not helping you raise your child, your boy, your girl to become the person you believe them to be and who they can be, then you have to set some boundaries. And that's hard. And that's not something you want to just willy-nilly do. You want to really kind of process that and think about that. And that could be something that's useful in a therapy situation of how to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But other ways to advocate, you know, the 504 and the IEP with the school. And I mean, it's constant with schools. Teachers have, you know, so many students, so many things that they have to do, and administration has so many things that they have to do that they don't get the skills and the training on things like ADHD, like I would love for them to have. And so you do have to kind of educate them and advocate for them through the IEP and 504 process. Or if your district has opportunities to meet with the school board outside a school board meeting, that's one of the things our district does. They have quarterly community conversations, and going in there and having a conversation with the superintendent about special education and the needs that your kid is having or what they're experiencing. That's a way to help make changes for not only for your kid, but then all the kids are going to come behind him and her. So those are definitely big things you can do. I think counseling, especially for kids as they have to process in the feelings, that's a great way to support them. So they have a place, or maybe they don't want to deal with this with their parents because talking to your parents is weird and my parents aren't going to understand me. Or sometimes the parent is a little bit of the problem because they haven't figured out what they need to do yet. And so the kid needs a place where they can come and to kind of feel like they can be supported in that environment. So that's always a good thing. And that could be individual. And sometimes there's ADHD groups where the kids get to hang out with each other and see, hey, we're all in the same boat. And hopefully we can all learn from each other what, Billy's doing this and this works pretty well for him. Sally's doing that. Maybe I should try that. Mm-hmm. So those are always a great thing. And then, for my kids who are older, I encourage them the social media component, even though I hate social media and it's horrible for a kid with ADHD, finding those people that they can follow to feel connected, to feel like they're not the only ones is a good thing. And so those are ways, some basic ways you can kind of support. And, also if they have an interest, steer into it for a while they enjoy it. And I'll say things like camps in the summer, like sleepover camps are very active type camps, are really good. And I know some families who will send their kids to like sports camps for 2 to 3 weeks and say that is the 2 weeks of the year where their kid's ADHD doesn't factor in 1 minute because they're so busy, so scheduled and so physical that there's no opportunity for their ADHD to even be an issue. And so that's their, for the kids, that's their 2 week vacation of their own diagnosis.
Yeah.
So you look for things like that really help and build your kid's self-esteem like that.
Yeah. I think another thing, as you were saying that, I was thinking, what else do I tell parents? And Taekwondo is an awesome thing because there's so much structure in it. And of course, there are like facilities that I think are run really well and some that maybe are not as structured. But generally, the technique of martial arts is fantastic because they have expectations for the kids. They want them to like memorize things. And they see a lot of kids with ADHD. And I feel like the teams that I have met at different places are really equipped to help kids succeed. And also, they do lots of belt or like stripes. And so then that helps them. And it's just like a lot of success within that. So I think also on your point of like physically active, that's an important thing that parents can do is keep your kid like busy. It doesn't mean that they have to be going to something after school every day because every kid needs downtime, but that it might be like stopping by the park on your way home or you have dinner and then you have time to go to the park and just having those bursts of physical activity are so important, or having, a trampoline in your backyard or having a playset or whatever, wherever you can, or, just like being active helps to regulate kids.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, even with sports, pick the sports that are best for a kid with ADHD. Sometimes some of the big team sports aren't as great as we might want to think because of the complexity of the game. If you think about something like soccer, your kid might be really fast. Your kid might be really good with dribbling the ball down and shoot and score. But the complexity of the team itself and defense, sometimes that's a lot of executive function that's required. And so sports where it's, like a golf or like a tennis, where it's a point, it's a little set time, there's a mental break, and then you start again. Those can be really good because that fits with the mindset of, I just did my thing. I had an immediate reward, probably too, the hit or the swing or whatever happened. And now I have a half a little break and now I can lock back in and do that again, as opposed to a constant play of confusion that can happen.
Well, and a lot of time
is important.
Yeah, totally. Also the time between, like I was thinking about as you were saying that, like in baseball, I remember like when I was a kid, there's like all that time between playing, like everybody's batting. It's like the kid with ADHD is like not sitting, not listening, moving around, causing chaos, getting the line out of organization, right? Like just not intentionally, just that they need some type of movement to keep going and it gets boring. So you might notice.
And they need an immediate reward. They need to be able to be successful. So if they were playing baseball, somebody who's a pitcher might be a little better off because they are going to be more active and they're going to get the reward for where the ball goes over the plate. Or, you might think about something like rock climbing where they're at a rock climbing gym and every time they're moving up and they get to the top, every move they make is a mental reward and rewards them for what they've done. And so you want sports and activities that reward quickly and not long term because they don't have a sense of time, so they're not going to care about the reward in 3 weeks. They need something that is right on that movement and something they just did.
Yeah, That's great thoughts. Okay, so how about yourself as the parent? What ways can you support yourself as a parent with a kid with ADHD?
Education, always the first part. The more you know, the better it's going to go for you. I think that's a big part. I think you can, something that we've done, and I think that is very important, is you make friends with people who have kids with ADHD. Walking the path with people, and having community. I'm a big believer that we are made to be connected. We are made to have community. And when you have a neurodivergent child, you want to hang with people who have neurodivergent child, even if it's sometimes like herding cats when they're all together. But there's that ability to share, struggle, and open up and say, this has been hard. And somebody who's walked that path and say, yeah, it can be, and I get it. And feeling heard and seen is such an important thing. So that's a huge thing for somebody, for a parent. If you're needing skills, you know, get into counseling, learn how to parent that child differently. Because your expectations that you might have had when you brought him or her home from the hospital are going to have to get tossed out the window a little bit. In fact, you know, there's almost a little bit of a grief period that you almost have as a parent, because parents instinctively put all sorts of pressure on that baby when they come home of, you know, he's going to grow up and be a doctor, she's going to grow up and be an attorney, he's going to do this, she's going to do that. And maybe you have to learn to adjust that and grieve the fact that all your hopes and dreams aren't might not play out the way you imagined, but they're going to play out perfectly for your child. And the way that that child was born and meant to be, it's going to play perfectly out for them. And so you have to kind of shift that expectation and grieve your amazing idea of what it's supposed to be, and accept what the reality is and build on that reality. So I think that's always important. You know, support groups is good, and take breaks. The flip side of sending your kid to camp for 2 weeks is 2 weeks of just you and your spouse potentially having that alone time and downtime. I think even as it, when you're talking about a married couple, having intentionality of you've had a long day with the kids, I'm going to watch them. You go do this, go run, go to the spa, go shop, do whatever you need to do alone, and having those intentional conversations throughout the week of what each other needs to make sure that no one gets burnt out, no one gets overworked, because that's the problem. Because if I'm burnt out, I'm going to be on edge and I'm going to fly off the handle a lot quicker, and which is going to not help my child. And so I have to take the breaks I need. And so that's definitely something as a parent, we need to do.
Yeah. Well, and there's no award that you get for just bearing it, like you need a break, you need to like take a walk or whatever. You don't get an award for not naming what you need and not getting that need met, right? Ultimately, we want our kids to do these things, and sometimes we have to be, well, we always need to be giving them an example of what we want them to do. Because, you know, sometimes when my kids have big feelings, I want them to walk away. Like, I want them to go take a break, do something else. We can come back and talk about this later. And we have to be modeling that as parents. And that is a very hard time, but we have to take care of ourselves, right? Because we are what our kids have, and we need to be the best version of ourselves as often as we can be. So that's great
100%.
advice. Great
Yeah,
advice.
100%.
So that you, we talked a little bit about this, but another question I get is, will this get easier? So we get the diagnosis, we're parenting, we're managing this. Will this get easier for us?
And the answer is maybe. I think if you do the work and you build the skills, you know, we close that deficit gap. And as a kid matures, they learn how to manage it themselves more. So that responsibility shifts off the parent to the child as they mature. Now, the thing with an ADHD kid that we talk about from a brain development is they are usually 1 to 2 years behind their peers from a maturity standpoint. So it takes longer than what I'd see for a neurotypical kid to take the responsibility, to take the bull by the horns and start going with their life. So it takes longer and it takes more patience. But yeah, I do think that you can get there where it gets a little easier per se, but it doesn't mean you get to let off the gas pedal. You still have to work at being consistent and intentional, and you know, encourage and teach in every opportunity, and always be watching. You don't ever let them get to coast, because that's not going to be good for them. The
Well, it's
wheels
not
will
good.
fall right off.
Yeah, and it's not good for anybody, really. Like
Yeah.
when we are actively engaged in whatever it is that we're doing, whether it's talking about being in a relationship with somebody, or whether it's talking about parenting or navigating our kids' anxiety or ADHD, whatever the diagnosis is, when we stop doing the things that helped us to be successful, then it goes south. It has to, because the reason why it was going so well was because we did the things that were helping it to be successful. So, I mean, and I want to also mention, this does not mean that your 27-year-old is living in your basement, right? Like
No.
this
Ideally,
is
that is the hope. That's the dream.
we're hoping that they're able to, yes, leave and kind of fly the nest, right? And go into the next stage in life. But as parents, we're always involved throughout the lifespan of our child, but in different ways. So we're not going to be telling our, 21-year-old how to clean their room, right? Like this is stuff that we're trying to put in place ahead of time so that they're learning how to do these things. So when they're adulting, that they're having these scaffolding things or these different markers to kind of lean on. And the goal is that we're moving towards independence. So yes, it is hard from the ages of diagnosis to 18, 19, 20 of helping them get through that childhood time and then that young adulthood time. And there are going to be times that they need us as older kids or older adults too. But it's really about those younger years, like when we're thinking high school and less, about helping them to be successful.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the thing you have to remind yourself as a parent is there's a lot of positives associated with ADHD in the long run when we learn to manage it well. As far as, you know, your kid's going to probably be somebody who's going to be more creative because that impulsivity aspect, when harnessed right, allows us to think in different ways and go in different directions, which in the right job, that's an amazing skill to have, a level of creativity. Or you know, our hyper focus that we might have as a kid, if we learn how to hyper focus on the right thing, we become super productive. And so we're the kid who can really grind out work, you know, in the work and workplace down the road. Or we might think in terms of energy and enthusiasm, because that's something that's going on there that, you know, you're the person who's really excited about every project at the office, and you like to dig into things. And that's a really big positive. I think some of these kids can really develop some resilience as a result of going through a struggle and then getting through to the other side. That helps them feel like I can conquer more because I've had to deal with more. And that puts them ahead in some regards of their peers potentially, if we really work at getting some of this stuff. And even back with that creativity, there's some intuitive thinking that these kids develop that I see really early on with ADHD, where they can see the world in a very different way than everybody else. And they make connections in ways that I don't feel like the neurotypical brain can or ever will. And that really can lead to, you know, taking the right risks, in a job or in a relationship. And I think that can put them ahead of the game in some areas when we put the tools and the scaffolding and the things into place that can really help them grow and mature. It really can be a positive. And so, yeah, it could get easier down the road. And I think there's some real big benefits of it. And there's, like I said earlier, there's a lot of people who have been very successful because of their ADHD.
Absolutely. Well, and yeah, I mean, I think ADHD people are my favorite. If I mean, I love people of every zone, but I mean, like I laugh more with my friends and my family that have ADHD than any of the other ones. Like
Oh,
they're more
sure.
willing to take a risk and do funny things. I mean, sometimes it's like laugh until you cry kind of deal. Like you're, oh, what else can I do but laugh at this? But I mean, also, just yeah, I love that you're amplifying this idea that there's so much good about ADHD too. And there is so much good. But sometimes when we're in the muck and we're like learning about it and we're getting the things put in place, it is hard.
It's
But
very
to
hard.
the benefit of our child and our relationship with that future child too, right? Of like really supporting them continues that lifelong relationship. Well, this has been amazing. Is there anything else that you want parents to think about when they think about this ADHD part or what you've said today? What do you want them to remember?
I think the important thing, and it's a word I've been for months now that keeps popping in my head, is just intentionality. In terms of everything you do with your kid with ADHD has to be intentional. You don't get the slack, and that's honestly true for most parts of life. However, when you're neurotypical, there's a little bit of ability to slack, and with ADHD and neurodivergence, there's not. And so you have to be intentional in how you communicate. Your tone, your message, your body language, all has to be consistent, all has to be on purpose. And you can't expect them to be a certain way unless you're doing it that way and you're modeling it intentionally that way. If your kid has harsh startups, it's probably because you have harsh startups and you need to work on that. So you have to be intentional of how to do that. So that's where the success lies in being intentional.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. I so appreciate it. I know all the parents of kids that have ADHD are really thankful for all the thoughts you've given today. So thanks, Todd. Wait,
You
hopefully we'll
bet.
have you back soon.
Hopefully, sounds good.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
That was really fantastic advice on parenting a kid with ADHD because it can be so hard. We love hearing a fellow parent with advice. I think when we're thinking about what to take away from this episode, I think the advocacy, right, is still an important piece of this ADHD component, but also what Todd said about being intentional, right? Like noticing what we're saying, noticing what we're doing, and putting a lot of structure in place, whether that is a 504 IEP for our kids, surrounding our kids with other kids with ADHD, and surrounding ourselves with other parents that understand ADHD. Creating that community, taking care of ourselves, and remembering that we can take a break. It's reasonable for us to, as long as it's safe, to step out, right? Go for a walk, to go outside, to read a book, to just get some space. That is totally okay. And we need that as parents sometimes in order to help our kids and to show up as the best parent. If you like what we're doing, please rate and subscribe to our show. And we have some really exciting episodes that are going to be coming up, and I'm so excited to share them with you. Please continue to send requests for show topics. We are loving this. Our email is accidentalexperts@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. We are now live on video, and so all of our episodes will also be put up on YouTube. We're looking forward to having you back next week. Have a great day.
Some words from our legal team.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for appropriate professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained on or available through this podcast, is for general information purposes only. This podcast makes no representations and assumes no responsibility for the accuracy or information on or available through this podcast, and such information is subject to change without notice. You are encouraged to confirm any information obtained through this program with other sources and review all information regarding any condition or treatment with the appropriate professionals.
What we're saying is, yes, I am a real therapist, but I'm not your therapist.